Other than the obvious, are there any questions? What kind of questions?
There is one question from China, actually referring to Lakshmi Priyadevi and Vishnu Priyadevi.
And what is that?
Okay, I will try to ask it. Mahaprabhu has two wives.
I'm going to talk of other things first.
Okay.
And we'll see if that comes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because this is the Vishnu Priya. We want to focus on Vishnu Priya today. And just to say, it may allude to that question, why Lakshmi Priya, Vishnu Priya? Because we will see Nimai Pandit. When we say Nimai Pandit, means in the householder pastimes of Mahaprabhu, his before household life and up to taking sannyas. So always Mahaprabhu, but in this phase, Nimai Pandit. But sometimes he's referred to as Vaikunthanath, Vaikuntheshwar, particularly in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Lord of Vaikuntha, these sort of references are given. So that one consort, Lakshmi Priya, will, and we can allude to Vaikuntha-like emphasis, is understandable. But when we come to the pastimes of Vishnu Priya Devi, and by the way, Lakshmi Priya, we're told, felt such deep separation from Nimai Pandit when he went to East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh, that it says the Viraha Sarp, she was bitten by the serpent of separation, just as someone bitten by a venomous serpent in this world, they hemorrhage and die. Her leaving this plane was Viraha Sarp, having been bit by the serpent of separation from her beloved Lord. So we hear so many things about Krishna consciousness and also Krishna Prem and many different descriptions. Shanta Dasya, Sakya Vatsalya, Madhura, Subdivided Parakya Swakya. And we hear many great, exalted, eternal associate devotees of the Lord with reference to these different rasas. But we would have to concede how much love and affection they have is inconceivable to us at present. We can only understand something by a general type of analysis. But how much love and affection they're capable of expressing toward the Lord and his various avatars, incarnations, and even aspects of the same personality is inconceivable to us. But different things give us a hint, or as they like to use in the scriptures when they say dig darshan, means pointing in the direction of which this can be understood. Because we're dealing with the infinite, there's no point where I totally grasp this and understand this. No, as Guru Maharaj would say, yet I have to know the infinite. In one sense, two fingers too short, always falling short of that. But then how? By heart, the Lord submits, who is ajita. He's unconquerable, ye prayaso jito jito piyasi taistrilokyam. He's conquerable by the love and affection and the heart of the devotee. But in the case of Vishnu Priya, there's mystical verse given Maybe it's 11th canto, two slokas that end in Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. And the one in particular I'm thinking of begins Chaktva Swadharma, Chaktva Surepshita Raja Lakshmin, Dharmishta Arja Bachasa Yadagada Ranyam, Mayam Rigam Doitam Ipsitam Ambadava Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Apparently, it is applicable to Ramachandra and Ramlila, but our acharyas, perhaps Bishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur of today's disappearance, always giving some fine point, have taken it in the direction of Mahaprabhu. Now it says, Tyaktva Surepshita Raja Lakshmi. It means, a guru is described as, what does he have to leave by leaving home and taking sannyas? So, you know, the Krishna Prem, the imperial throne, enthroned in the heart of Vishnu Priya. See, when it's applicable to Ramachandra, saying he had to give up the throne and go to the forest. Right? But we're saying, no, what is the throne that, and Nimai, go to the forest, Van. General, like Ban as a sannyas name, and Ban in general means sannyas. Sometimes it's synonymous with sannyas. Or what's the word? Synecdoche. Synecdoche means when something represents that. Ban for sannyas. But what is the throne in this case? The throne of Krishna Prem in the heart of Vishnu Priya, which is inconceivable to us. That he had to forego. And also understanding how much pain, unhappiness she would have to experience. Same with Mother Sachi. We can't, what's the word, not de-emphasize, but make in a lesser position. Anyway, you cannot dismiss what is in their heart, the value of that. Because if we, when we hear these things or look at them, then we have to recall all the things that Rupa Goswami has said with regard to the science of devotion and apply that. So if in principle we understand that Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, the devotion proper is manifested when the infinite comes under the control of the finite. Not that we think of them as finite, but it's for the sake of analysis. And when the infinite's coming under the control of his devotees. But here's something very peculiar. On the one hand, they want him to stay with them forever. As voiced by Sachi Mata, we can understand the position of Vishnu Priya as well. How can they ever think in any other way than they always want to be together? They always want to be with their worshipable Lord. We hear in Charitamrita many heartbreaking pastimes of the Lord separating from his devotees. And, you know, whether it's him saying, you know, goodbye to Rupa Goswami, even recently we heard Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sanatana Goswami, when he's telling them, or his devotees in general, Advaita, all the devotees, and now that he needs to go by himself. Even Nityananda Prabhu can't tolerate that and is pleading, begging with him to take one or two people with him. It's unthinkable for the devotees that Mahaprabhu will be wandering alone in divine madness and all the things that might happen. So what to speak of Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya? And we're told at the time of his taking sannyas, that Vishnu Priya is around 14 years old. Right? And if we think, well, what sort of love is the 14-year-old heart capable of? Then I would remind everyone that the Romeo-Juliet story, they're 14 years old. And why I take it, it's significant. It means this is, in one sense, love at its peak. Before any otherworldly considerations in there, any other sort of worldly experiences that have a tendency to sort of tamp down. You understand? This is the perfect age of romantic purity, of the purity of heart. I mean, say in a general sense, because we think a 14-year-old girl, it makes it even, in Vedic context, even like more heartbreaking. And she, as we're told, and entering a deep state of separation, she becomes emaciated. We're told that she takes Krishna Nam, she's counting with grains of rice. And Guru Mahārāja said, not only that is she subsisting on that rice, but when she makes that rice, she's also giving to others and then taking what remains. So not even all of that. She's supplying to others and then taking something to show the depth of love and affection in her heart and the painful separation. And after some years, when Mahaprabhu returns to Navadvip and there's millions, hundreds of thousands, millions come to see him. And we're told even the gods and goddesses, they're donning human forms to have a glimpse of Gauranga, Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundar, Rupa Goswami. It says in Chaitanyastakam, Sado Pasyas Riman Dritta Manujakai, Pranayatam Bahadi Girvane Girisha Parameshti Prabhriti Bri. Sha Bhaktebya Sudham Nijabhajana Mudra Mupadishan Sat Chaitanya Kime Punar Apidashor Yasyati Padam. He said, I saw this. Will I ever see this again? Now, the gods disguised as human beings entered into the pastimes of Mahaprabhu to have a glimpse of his beauty. And what did they come with? What's some gift? It's always appropriate to come with some gift, but what are they going to give? They're saying, bearing the love and affection in their hearts, this is what they're bearing. They're coming to offer to him. And at that time, told Vishnu Priya, she like falls on the ground. She's in a tattered sari, emaciated looking. She was there with Sachi Mata. And told, seeing Mahaprabhu off in the distance, a little bit away, she said, there is your son. Srila Guru Maharaj pointed out, she didn't say, there is my husband. He's now Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She said, there is your son. And she fell to the ground. And Mahaprabhu, knowing they cannot be together, but offering something to assuage the painful, the agony of separation in her heart. His paduka means wooden shoes, particularly of the renunciates, paduka. He steps out of his shoes and then he walks on and the crowd is following him and those shoes remain behind and they become worshipable to Vishnupriya Devi. And still, Navadvip, there's a stop. Vishnupriya Bari, Mahaprabhu Bari, the house of Mahaprabhu, Vishnupriya Bari, the house of Vishnupriya, where that temple is there with the deity that she commissioned. and her separation, she commissioned a deity of Mahaprabhu. And we're told the deity, the sculptors, they come, present something to her, she dismisses that. Again, they try, she dismisses that. And the third time they present the deity, her, she draws her veil, seeing her husband, eternal consort. So that deity is there, and they have the padukas of Mahaprabhu as worshipped by her. And in her later years, she would be merciful to the devotees, particularly Srinivasacharya when he was very young. We're told he was found on the banks of the Ganga, like totally mad, like in a good way, you know, divine madness. And he was a young, relatively young man at the time. And he was brought to the house of Vishnupriya, and there's Ishan, the servitor appointed to take care of Sachimata and Vishnupriya in the absence of Nimai Pandit. And there she made prasadam for him, gave so much mercy to him. They would talk Gorkata, talk about Mahaprabhu and his pastimes. So, and one thing also with regard to this day, Saraswati, the goddess of learning, for those who've been in India on this day, they know, like, the school girls, not only, but the ladies, they all wear yellow, some new yellow clothes, which is the color of Saraswati. At school, everybody, it's like a big, it's this in-school holiday, not that you stay home, you go to school, but invoke the blessings of Saraswati, who Guru Maharaj sometimes describes as Vak Devi. She's the goddess of learning, the goddess of speech, the goddess of music, all things related to sound. And he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs where he's reminding us that really when we speak of Saraswati, we love all conceptions of Saraswati, I think. But saying more specifically, he said the Saraswati we're referring to, he calls Krishna Priya, saying she's very dear to Krishna. And we know it means in the upper world, as once some artist asked Guru Maharaj how to portray her, because we hear in the Brahma Sangita, she's giving the Gayatri to Brahma, Kam Gayatri. Right? This is before there's any creation. She's delivering that mantra to him. So they wanted to know how to represent her. And I remember Guru Maharaj, he's like, closed his eyes and is as if he is like looking into that domain. And he said, she is riding on a white swan. So that's Saraswati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this Krishna Priya, and saying in her heart is filled with Krishna Prem, and she wants to give Krishna Bhakti to others. Not just knowledge or understanding or being a clever talker or a great poet. Those are secondary aspects of that. Like our guru of all, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Saraswati Thakur, and one of Guru Maharaj's pranams to him, the Nikhila Bhuvanamaya sloka, the last line is Vilasatu Hrini Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. So he's taken the word Saraswati, who's Vak Devi, and put Vani. Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. And Guru Maharaj said with a little chuckle, he said, we are word traders. Like we're in the business of words. And not just words, he means, you know, with spiritual substance. Where is Vyasa's ashram located? On the banks of the Saraswati. Right? That current, that flow, it's not just, a nice ashram next that has a river running by it. If it's significant, it means this current, this flow that is coming. Right? Just that sometimes, you know, the Badari, I find this in Badarik, Badarik ashram, Badari, if you look at it, it'll say, you know, jujube. It's a type of fruit. But really, what is it telling? What does Vyas come to give? Nigama kalpaturur galitam palam shukamukaram ritudravasamyatam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavukaha. Galitam palam, the fruit. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the fully ripened, mature, fully ripened fruit of the tree of Veda. Of the Kalpataru of Veda, whose pushpa flower is Vedanta, the fruit it yields is Srimad Bhagavatam, which culminates in what? Madhura rasa pastimes of Krishna. Right? Therefore, that type of sweetness, as we discussed earlier today, it's all thematically moving and pointing in a particular direction. So, Dibya Saraswati. That's how Guru Maharaj referred to her who in the pages of Brahma Sangita. And so we understand there's a difference between material opulence and spiritual opulence. Material wealth and spiritual wealth. So it's also the appearance day of Raghunath, well, of Pundarik Vidyanidhi Prabhu, we should say, perhaps first. And that leads to Raghunath Das Goswami. And again, he comes from what is now Bangladesh or East Bengal. I think currently the city maybe is called Chittagong. It was Chittagram. Originally, and the names sometimes vary in time. But he was in such a position, this from a very wealthy family, but his real wealth is what is in his heart. And he, being that the Ganges, the Ganga, doesn't flow in that part of the country, he would visit Navadvip to bathe in the Ganga or worship, do Ganga Puja. We're told he objected to people doing cleaning their cloth or using it for those purposes. He would go in the evening and on the banks of the Ganga take a few drops on his head. Very deep mood of love and appreciation. Guru Maharaj mentions sometimes Professor Sanyal, he came from that region, and he remembers when in his family, in their household, they kept on their altar like a bottle of Ganga Jal. And on special days, they would carefully open it and put a drop or two on everybody's head and then put it back on the shelf. And when he came to Navadvip and where the Ganga gets so large, his mind was blown. Seemed like we used to keep a bottle on the shelf and worship those drops. And now we see this flood, river flooding, right? As it's also descended from the lotus feet of Krishna by way of Vishnu. Different descriptions are there, but it means like a river of prema. So this Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he would go to Navadvip to visit. And we're told that time, Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda Dutt, they're very good friends. Mukunda is very charmed by Gadadhar. How inconceivably charming Gadadhar must be. I mean, Radharani, you know, Radha Bhav, her incarnation as this young, beautiful, devoted boy. Mukunda Dutt was very charmed, and Gadadhar is very simple, devoted, and gentle, and expressed interest to see a real Vaishnava, a substantial Vaishnava. And Mukunda Dutt said, oh, one is coming, and that is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. As we told, Pundarik Vidyanidhi has all this spiritual wealth, but it's disguised beneath so much material opulence. So when he appears in Navadvip, he's riding on a golden palanquin, right, that is filled with silk cushions. He's wearing silk garments. His hair is nicely oiled. He's wearing perfume and beautiful clothes. And there are mirrors from to monitor his own beauty. He appears to be, you know, a materialist, a sensualist. He has a hookah, a big water pipe. He's puffing on this hookah, and Mukunda Dutt, there's your Vaishnava. And Gadadhar Pandit, that's the Vaishnava. And there's some apprehension in his heart, because generally this would be seen as being stereotypically the opposite of what we would envision in a Vaishnava. And there's some lesson for us to understand from this. Now, what is objective and subjective? It's the subjective aspect we're to give our full attention to. So Mukunda Dutt, seeing the apprehension and Gadadhar saying, oh, I need to somehow get Pundarik to come out so he can see what type of Vaishnava this is. And he is known to be such an excellent singer, and he began singing this Bhagavad sloka, Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jagam sayapayayadapyasadvi lebhe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kam vadayalum sharanam brajema. I believe it was Vidura and Maitreya or Uddhava, I forget, but in the third canto. And he's saying, aho, you know, it's like, oh, how wonderful. Saying this, Putana Rakshasi, she disguised her, and speaking of disguises, she disguised herself very nicely as a nurse, a wet nurse, and with the permission of Yashoda and Rohini, went into Krishna's nursery with the intentions of murdering him by poison breast. So she has poison on her nipples. She appears to be this beautiful young wet nurse. She goes in, puts Krishna on her lap. Krishna sucks the poison off of her breast, the milk out of her breast, and then her prana, her life air, through her breast. And she's trying to push him away, and he's got a grip. And she can no longer maintain that beautiful girl form, and she expands to, like, is that 12 kilometers form of a terrifyingly ugly witch. Jai Shripadande Maharaj. And with the baby Krishna playing on her breast, and the simple-hearted people of Vrindavan, Jai Shripadande Maharaj, they're Hare Krishna. they're thinking, how fortunate we are. Maybe we did some pious activities that when the demoness fell, she didn't crush Krishna. She fell the other way. What if she had fallen the other direction? We're so fortunate. The Lord is merciful to us. And the old ladies come out with their, their little rituals and mantra. There you've got cow, they're like chanting, putting tilak on. They want to protect him. Right? But that putana, you think, horrible what she's done. One with murderous intentions, and what is being expressed in this sloka? You know, kam va doyalum sharanam brajema. Who's a more merciful Lord than Krishna? Someone tries to murder him, and they get mukti, liberation, and not in a generic sense, but achieve the position of mother. So if that's how he treats his enemies, we can't imagine how he treats his friends. Kam va dalam sharanam brajema, and Pundarik Vidyaniti, hearing this, his body starts to tremble and exhibit different sorts of ecstatic symptoms. And he's pulling on his hair and saying, Kam va dalam sharanam, who is more merciful than Krishna? And throws his hookah, all the pillows, he's destroying everything. He falls out of the palanquin onto the ground, and then there's a death-like state of divine ecstasy for 9 hours. And Gadadhar Pandit is thinking, what have I done? I had this offensive mentality, not just of a Vaishnava, but of the highest type of Vaishnava, beyond what we can imagine. I couldn't see his subjective inner aspect. I was viewing him externally. Who knows what hell awaits me? But we're told that if one takes shelter of Sri Guru, the lotus feet of Sri Guru, becomes a disciple, then like the parent with the child, the guru forgives the offenses of the disciple. So Gadadhar Pandit gets the inspiration to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyaniti, but he's saying, but, you know, Gaurahari, Nimai Pandit, he's everything to me, I must ask his permission. And we're told that sometimes, to the bewilderment of his devotees, they would hear Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, and sometimes going, you know, Bap Pundarik, Bap Pundarik, like my father, Pundarik, my father, where are you? And they're thinking, who is this Pundarik person that he's in such a pathetic wailing, his heart, he's crying out for and crying, father, father, where are you? But when Gadadhar Pandit is asking for his permission, he's saying, yes. It's actually, he is Vrishabhanu Maharaj in Vrindavan, your father. So it is very appropriate you'll take the mantram from him. And Mahaprabhu, his name is Pundarik Vidyaniti, but Mahaprabhu, when he saw him, he said, today my life it has achieved its, you know, fruition, because now I'm looking at Krishna Prem personified. So Mahaprabhu preferred to call him Premaniti, not Vidyaniti. And that's even thematically what we discussed before. The Vidya of Saraswati, there's one plane, but really we're always tracing everything back to the central conception of the infinite, the nirguna plane, that representation. But Mahaprabhu called him Premaniti. I'm looking at Krishna Prem personified. Then who is Mahaprabhu? Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Te Tanna Namne Gortase Namaha. It's distributing that Krishna Prema to everyone. And we look at his followers, who they were in Krishna Leela and how they appear in Gaur Leela is noteworthy. And Raghunath Das Goswami, all these the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they have their internal identity in Vrindavan, gopis, Manjari's assistants to Sakis, and then they appear in this plane. How does Raghunath Das Goswami appear? And a man of great wealth. What does that say? Gurudev liked to quote these verses, particularly in Govardhan. And if you look at what the slokas he composed for the Govardhan, the Giriraj Govardhan arati, because there's, I think he wrote two, right? At least. How he references Raghunath Das Goswami. Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. Seeking the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan, and Giriraj Govardhan was given to Raghunath Das Goswami. But that Das Goswami was also from a very wealthy family. Oh, and the verses Gurudev liked to quote, one line was, Indra Aiswarja Sama. How wealthy? He had wealth equal to that of Indra, Aiswarja, opulence like Indra, and then Stri Apsara Sama, and his Stri, his wife, she is as beautiful or more beautiful than an Apsara. Means not the beautiful women of this world, but the heavenly beauties who are much more beautiful than the women of this world. Saying, so that's his wife, and he's got wealth like Indra. But it means nothing to him in pursuance of the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And his mother and father are aware of this. At different times, he's trying to run away and join Mahaprabhu's party unsuccessfully. But the mother is becoming very worried about him, and she suggests to the father, why don't we chain him to a pillar or something? And not like, I mean, like with a long chain, so he can go around and do things, and, you know. She's saying, then she'll feel. And actually, it's funny, this is like, now you know what is a Bengali ma. She's going to chain her son to a column. But the father says, Indra Aiswarja Sama Stri Apsara Sama. He's got wealth like Indra. He's got a wife more beautiful than Apsara. If that cannot bind him, what good are chains? So we can understand his father is he's advanced also. They're playing these parts as part of the Leela. They're extraordinary devotees. We should never forget that. But that's what he said. And he said, and what to speak, he said, so what can bind someone who's become a madman for Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Right. But still, interesting, like, he can't escape this situation until he receives the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Always coming back to Nityananda Prabhu. Kaviraj Goswami praising Nityananda Prabhu. We see here in the pastimes of Das Goswami and other places. And how does that come? We know we celebrate every year the Chirudoi festival of Panihati, where Nityananda Prabhu was there with his crew and his, you know, eccentric followers who are delightfully eccentric. And he's there with so many, and they're traveling in a group, and Raghunath's staying off in the distance, and Nityananda's calling for him and saying, hey, cheater, come over here. And he's saying that Das Goswami is cheating him, and as a punishment for his cheating style behavior, he must feed all of his himself and his entourage. This is how he's giving his mercy. And he arranges that Chiradoi festival. Who comes from nearby? The Damayanti's brother, what's his name? Raghava Pandit. With some, and then he says, oh, all right, this festival is going on, all right, take all this, but I've got other prasad waiting for this evening. And Nityananda Prabhu, while taking the prasadam there, the flat rice chira and the doi, the yogurt, and they're mixing, they have put some in kheer, so there's some in yogurt, some in the Ganga, many different ways they're taking that. And Mahaprabhu himself appears, drawn by the love and affection of Nityananda Prabhu. Not everyone can see that. Only like we can say antaranga bhakta of the higher type, but Mahaprabhu comes to that festival himself. And we're doing, Mahaprabhu is placing Chirandoi into the mouth of Nityananda, Nityananda putting in the mouth of Mahaprabhu, then they're going down the aisles, putting in the devotees in them, and it's a wonderful festival. And in this way, actually, Raghunath Das Goswami gets the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, and he's giving them gold and different things to take care of them, to the treasurer. Nityananda Prabhu has a treasurer. But he goes back home now knowing that he has the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu and saying, now you will achieve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, guaranteed. And who can understand how these opportunities come? But one night we're told that their Puruhit, the family Kula Guru, but he's not just a Kula Guru, but he happens to be their Kula Guru. Yarunandana Charja. There's no one to do the Brahmin who's doing the puja. He's, for some reason, not going to continue. These things happen, even then. So, Yarunandana Charja thing, like, he's talking to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, he said, let me talk to him. I can take care of this. Yes, yes, I can do it. You go home. Because now he's walking with him outside, no guards around. I'll take care of this. You just go back to your house. He goes to his house. And all the times before, Raghunath Das was going in the most obvious way. The way that everybody would go if you were going to Puri. This time, he decides to go the opposite way, to throw them off. And he's circling and running like a madman, and sometimes stops. We're told he's staying in cow sheds. Sometimes he drinks a little milk. He runs for another day or so. Maybe someone gives him a little rice or something. He's back running like a madman to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu until he reaches Jagannath Puri. And in the meantime, his father's sending a search party. They can't find him. And the news comes, he made it to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. His father's, oh. And there, Mahaprabhu puts him under the guidance of Swarup Damodar. And after some time, Das Goswami's thinking, all right, I'm happy with that, but I also came to be with you and I would like some direct instruction from you. And that's when Mahaprabhu tells him that famous line, what is it? Balona kaibe, balona paribe. Don't eat luxurious food, don't wear opulent foodstuffs, avoid gramya katha. Always engage in Krishna katha and in your mind, braja radhe Krishna manasa seva, do seva internally, which Guru Maharaj points out means really in the Siddha plane. These are not ordinary instruction, this one particular. Braja Radha, Krishna Manasa Seva. But he said, the reason I put you under the guidance of Srup Damodar is because what I don't know, he knows fully. And that is a jewel mine of thoughtful consideration. What I don't know, he knows fully. How is that possible? Yet possible. That Mahaprabhu, he is what? Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita Nomi Krishna Swarup, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. So we can think this is for Krishna, terra incognita, right? A land previously unexplored. But who is with Radharani when she is experiencing all of these divine emotions and divine madness, particularly the depths of separation? Always at her side is Lalita Sakhi, who somehow maintains her composure while Radharani is in these divine states of madness. So when she comes out, she may say, "Whoa, what happened? What did I say? Did I say something peculiar? Did I exhibit some peculiar behavior?" As Mahaprabhu, he will say, he says, "Am I Chaitanya?" Which is a pun, saying, "Am I conscious?" But he says, "Am I Chaitanya? Did I say some peculiar things?" He's unaware. Lalita Sakhi knows everything. And when Radharani is feeling a particular mood or sentiment, supplying that, right? That sloka, that song, Ramananda, Vishakha Sakhi too, but particularly the emphasis on Lalita Sakhi. And Guru Maharaj, Gurudev once came to my room after something happened with some devotees, and he said, "When I go to see Guru Maharaj," he said, "even if I really have like a burning desire to tell him something, I first see what is his mood before I express anything." He said, "Then having observed his mood for some time, then I introduce something or not." He was giving some advice that we were to follow henceforward. But he said, "I go and see what is his mood. I just don't go and ask him a question. I see what is his mood, and then, and maybe I won't ask, or I'll ask, or modify different things." He is like that. So Lalita Sakhi knows everything about Radharani, and in a sense, more than she does on certain things, you could make a case. And now Mahaprabhu is in that position, saying, "So Ranganath Das, it's not like a demotion or I put you in a secondary position. The reason I'm putting you under the guidance of Srup Damodar, he knows more than I do about this. And I want you to know that, so you can render that type of assistance." So really, it's the higher position. And that's one of the peculiar aspects of Krishna consciousness. What appears not to be direct yields more substance than direct. Not only for devotees, even in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and those things are there. I can't discuss it, describe it, but it's there. If you look in the books, and with reference, Kaviraj Goswami quoting sometimes his own book, Govinda Lilamritam, but saying, so the devotees, they get so much joy promoting Radharani to Krishna, but she gets so much joy promoting them, and it's this mutual sharing of love and affection and experiencing of divine ecstasy. So, and Srup Damodar has the notes of all of these pastimes of Mahaprabhu and the divine madness experienced. Mudaliar keeps them in a sutra-like form. And Raghunath Das Goswami, who was in Puri for something like 16 years, he has more expanded descriptions. And together with what he got from Srup Damodar, which is everything, and his own expanded notes, he, after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu and Srup Damodar, he could find no reason to live any longer in Vrindavan, and he thought, in Puri, and I'll go to Vrindavan, see, you know, Radha Kunda and Govardhan, and then go to Govardhan and throw myself down, finish my life. What use is it? Right. As expressed and as Bilapa Kusumanjali, Ashavare Amriti Sindhu Mayi Katanchit, Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratam Hi, Tom Chait Kripam Mayi Rida Shashinaiva Kimme, Prane Brajena Chaboro Rubakarinapi. It's Guru Maharaj said that he's making a direct prayer to Radharani. And Guru Maharaj connects with that, saying, interestingly, there are so many prayers directed to Krishna. He said the sannyas mantram is toward the gopis. So here also, Das Goswami, he's the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. We're told the Prayojan Tattva Sloka of the Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Pratam. Das Goswami is saying, what is our ultimate necessity? Is Radha Dasyam, the service, the holy lotus feet of Radharani in service to Krishna. And that way you get maximum Krishna. Right? So in that sloka, he's saying, without this aspiration to serve your, it's a direct prayer to Radharani, this aspiration to serve your holy lotus feet is why I exist. It gives meaning and substance to my life. Without that, what is the value of living? What is the point of living? One. The next, what did you think? And what's even more valuable than my life? Generally, we can't think of anything more valuable than our own life. Well, they always talk about self-preservation. It's the highest, all these kind of... Not Dasko. He can think of something more valuable than his life. Vrindavan. Right? But really, what is Vrindavan again? Radha Padman Kitadam Vrindavan Jaranam. That Chinmoy soil that's enriched, embellished by the lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani. Saying, what good is that without you? It's of no value to me. And lastly, as Guru Maharaj Swami said, it is a shameful thing to say, but Krishna, without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. Right? Reality, the beautiful, sweet Krishna is a dreadful thing. Bakarinapi, like baka, we saw the whole baki yam, stanadat baka. Baki is Putana, and baka, her brother, bakasura. Their little brother, Baki Bakanuja, Aghasura. And then you're not that sweet Krishna. Then you're like that demon killer Krishna. Killing Putana, Bakasura, all of that, it's not so appealing. Right? This comes from Raghunath Das Goswami. An unparalleled renunciation. We know him taking the cast-off foodstuffs that even the cows won't eat. There's some little piece of rice in there that's salvageable. He'll take that. He's accumulating that, taking that. The man who had the opulence of Indra, whose father, in his absence, sent all this money. Like, if he's not going to be with us, then we're going to send people to Puri and take care of him, which he did in the beginning, and he would invite Mahaprabhu to these feasts, and then he thought, this isn't right. I think Mahaprabhu is just tolerating me. He doesn't really approve of this. So he stopped receiving any money from the family and then would beg at the Singhadwar, the lion gate. Then he thought, This is like prostitution. I'm looking at people thinking, he'll give, certainly this person will. They gave last week. He said, I don't like this mentality. Then he went to where they like distribute free food. Finally, he makes it to none of that, just taking the little bit, salvaging the little edible part of what's been thrown away, the garbage practically. And Mahaprabhu says to Srupadami, what happened to Raghunath? We used to have those feasts. What's he doing these days? And they start explaining to Mahaprabhu, he went to the Shingadwar and then this, how the renunciation is getting more and more extreme. And not as a means, I like to point out, it's not that he's like, by being so renounced, then you get, no. He's got so much inner wealth and spiritual substance that he has the least dependence upon the external world. It's the other way around. But Mahaprabhu and Srupadamara go to see him, and Mahaprabhu forcibly takes that foodstuff remnant from his hands and saying, right, you're feasting without me. You don't invite me to your feast anymore. And then twice he's taking, I've never tasted such nectarine substance. Third time, then Swipdamadar grabs Mahaprabhu's hand. That's Pragalbam of Lalita Sakhi. He can grab the hand of Mahaprabhu and say, this isn't fit for you. Who can say that? Srup Damodar can. Said, we get the point. And that Das Goswami, Nidra Hara Vihara Kajabidito Chachantu Dina Chayo. How they lived in Vrindavan, sleeping very little, taking very little. When he would stay there, take the buttermilk syrup offered in a leaf cup. Buttermilk, what it really means is when you churn milk, you get this stuff, it looks like whitewash, like water, like whitewash water. It's not like thick, rich, creamy buttermilk. It's the leaf, that's why they'll give it to you freely. There's nothing left, very little left. Gall, that they would give, and that he's taking. And one day they give it to him in the leaf cup. It's different than the one they normally get. And he's thinking, where is this leaf cup from? And they say, Sakhi Stali, which is known to be the place of Chandravali and her girlfriends, who are the competitors, the opposition to Radharani. And he takes it and throws the leaf cup. He feels soiled by touching such a thing. He's that much of a fanatical follower of Srimati Radharani. And he wrote so many books, beautiful books, Mukta Charit, Bilapa Kusumanjali, and Govardhan, Astakam, and prayer. And really, the Chaitanya Charitamritam comes to us. It's coming from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, but based upon what he got from Raghunath Das Goswami and Radha Kunda, which means Srup Damodar, Raghunath Das. So really the book, our ultimate book, comes by the grace of Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Tattva charge of this line. And also Raghunandan Thakur, the boy of, not, there's Mukunda Dutt, then there's Mukunda Vaidya, who's a doctor, his son. Mahaprabhu said to him once, Mukunda, in your family, who's the father, you or Raghunandan? And knowing Mahaprabhu's heart, he said, Raghunandan's the father. Meaning, he has superior devotion. And how is it shown? Mukunda had to go once on a house call and tells his boy, you will do the offering to the deity today. Okay. He goes, and the boy, he's not used to doing this, but he is a Raga Bhakta to the extreme. Guru Maharaj told, in some place they say he's Pradyumna Avatar. Anyway, he's a very good dancer, later in Ratyatra and other times. He presents the bhoga to the deity and is requesting the deity to, like, now take this, take your meal. Bon appetit. And the deity is not moving. And he's saying, now please, you take, take. And deity is, you know, whatever. And he's thinking, my father, I'm going to be in trouble with my father. Maybe he will beat me. Please, you must take this prasad, you know. And the deity, his heart is so pure in this request, right? The infinite comes under the control of the finite that the deity has to come down and start eating the bhog. And then Raghunath, oh, all right. He closed the curtain, he's going back happily, hearing, hearing some sound, then coming, like, oh, okay, everything's gone. Then his mother comes and sees, it look, you know, not the prasadam's all gone, there's nothing left on the plates. And she's saying, where's the prasadam? He's saying, the deity ate everything. She's saying, oh, I see, yeah, I'm such a fool. Usually they eat everything and then leave it all behind mystically. But today they just ate everything and there's nothing on the plate. And his father returned. Now he's in trouble, big trouble. And he's pleading, saying, no, this is the truth. And finally then father's saying, show me this, your procedure. They do again, but he's looking, in his presence, the deity, no response. And then he's saying, he leaves. Then Raghunandan's pleading with the deity. The deity comes again, we're told. Then Mukunda comes to see, and that deity, if you see that, he's holding a laddu in his hand. And that's his permanent posture now. Then he can understand, oh, my son, I'm so blessed. And Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, his Tirobhav, he is so wonderful. His Sararta Darshini Tika of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, all these beautiful details come streaming out of the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Things that no one would notice, I mean, in general, would not be noticed. He can extract some beautiful, beautiful insight. And in one part of his commentary, he begs the readers, he says, the equivalent of saying, like, forgive me for becoming a jeweler, like a businessman. I've become a jeweler, I'm sorry. But what he's referring to are the gems that he's extracting from the Bhagavatam. He's saying, forgive me for becoming a jeweler. And of course, the all-time great, you know, guru song, Bande Guroshi Charanaravindam, the Gurvastakam, sung everywhere by all the devotees, Gaudiya Math, every temple. Like the premier guru worship song. And he has so many commentaries. Really, he's always revealing the inner aspect of what is presented there. And his commentaries are laden with Madhura Rasa interpretations. And Guru Maharaj is God brothers, Bhakti, Vivek, Bharati. You see some pictures of Saraswati Thakur with a group of Gaudiya Math devotees. He's the one in the back. He's taller than everybody else. He was a very, had a substantial presence. And Guru Maharaj said his lectures were very filled with common sense and the good preacher and the Bhakti Swarup Parbat, he lived on Godruma Dweep, Swananda Sukhata Kunj, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house was. That's where he lived. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur moves into your neighborhood. That's his neighborhood to begin with. Godruma Dweep, Swananda Surabhi Kunj, Swananda Sukhata Kunja, across from Mayapur. And he would hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur at 3 o'clock in the morning, walking, pacing in his garden, taking Krishna Nam. He said, like, calling as if his friend was out in the difference, his beloved friend, Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he would sit on the cement bench in the morning, be taking Krishna Nam. The breeze would come from the Sringapali, go to Mayapur, which he came to understand was Nisringadev, flying over on his way to Mangalarati at the Yogpit. So he had this personal experience with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and joined Saraswati Thakur and Gaudiya Math and rendered so much service selflessly for so many years. And Guru said, Saraswati Thakur said to once, he said, I have my eye on you. I see what you're doing. And in the future, I'm going to give you one assistant and you'll be taking Krishna Nam. And like Srila Prabhupada used to say, work now, samadhi later. So he's saying, I see now you're doing as you should. You're young, you have all this energy. It's a message to all the devotees, especially. We're so, you know, less qualified is an understatement. But this shows that Saraswati Thakur's vision of things. He's saying, now, well, you have all this youthful energy, use it and practical service. And then later, and I've got my eye on you. Guru Maharaj would say, the ever-watchful eye of Yoga Maya knows everything all the devotees are doing. And then at that time, when it's appropriate in your life, he said, I'll give you one assistant. You'll be taking Krishna Nam and going deep into the scriptures. And but Gurudev said once, that, remember, Saraswati Thakur chanted what, 1 billion names in 1 month, and was, you know, taking 10 lakh nam and living that sort of life. Then he came out on inspiration from Bhaktivinoda, Panchatattva, etc., and started Gaudiya Math, and we're all the beneficiaries of that. But Gurudev said once, one of his brothers came to see him, and he said, Prabhu, you've done, you know, you've made 64 mats all over India, you have your Western preaching program, you know, and now the burden of this mission is upon you. And he said, why don't you, you know, go back to, like, your bhajan? And this is Gurudev's little story. And he said, Saraswati Thakur said, oh, it is not possible now. After coming, I was in that plane, and then I came out here for everyone. And he said, now to go back there, that is not possible. But that said, we know in his final days, he in the last few months, that is what he did. And meaning he went deeper and deeper into the upper world. Jajavar Maharaj would sing the songs to him, and he just went deeper and deeper into that world until he didn't come out again. But that he was affectionately viewing all the servitors and had future plans for them is heartening to hear. Hare Krishna. So many exalted servitors. And I'll just say this one last thing, that Vaishnava Maharaj, Shrutisvara, we were in Jagannath Puri at the Purushottam Gaudiya Math on this day in 1977, I think it was. And we were like the guests. And there was this old disciple of Saraswati Thakur, and I'll never forget, his name was Dr. Shyamasundar Brahmachari. And he was so happy to have some like guests to have like make a feast. And so we were in the role of guests, And at one point, it's time to serve the prasadam, and I felt a little awkward, like we're so young, relatively speaking. I was like 25, and Vaishnava was maybe a couple years older. And I thought, and he's serving us, this is awkward. So I volunteered to like help. By the way, not a good thing for Shaivs to do when you're in India to begin with. But anyway, I volunteered, you know, and he said, no, you know, like, don't mind. And I said, no, really, I think I should. He goes, no, you sit, and I said, no, but I, and he was, do not disturb me. I went, okay, all right, okay. And then he started smiling again, like, all right, we're doing everything the way you say from now on. And that, the way he changed, then he was like so happy and smiling and bringing different things. And I thought, how do you get that sort of heart? It's serving with heart, the real thing. It's what we aspire to. And the disciples of Saraswati Thakur, they personified that. And it's our good fortune to, on some way, be their disciplic descendants by the grace of our Guru Bhargava. Hare Krishna.